Hello and welcome to Daily Info's Oxcast. Today I have the frankly improbable and very exciting task of interviewing Fred Fairbrass, otherwise known as one half of the dance pop legend Right Said Fred, who are going to be playing Oxfordshire's Cornbury Festival in July. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you. Good. Yes.
So it's more than a quarter of a century since I'm Too Sexy was released, and I remember dancing along to your first album Up on my Walkman in Bradford in 1992. And I've got to tell you, it was my first album too. It was actually the first album I ever bought.
Okay, great.
It's been a long and amazing journey for you guys. Does it feel like 25 years since it all began?
No, it doesn't. It probably feels like 5 or 6 years ago, to be honest with you. It doesn't feel like yesterday, but it doesn't feel so long ago. No, it doesn't, no.
And can you tell me what you're currently up to? I hear that you've recently been seen in Yorkshire, is that right?
Yes, we've been on a two-week radio promo. So we've been going to lots of radio stations, playing a bit of acoustic music, talking about the new album, talking about what we've been up to, because we haven't been that present in the UK for a while. That's it. We've been doing about 5 stations a day for the last 2 weeks, and we drove about 3,500 miles.
My goodness. Do you share the driving?
No, we have a tour manager.
Ah. So
because Rick and I quite often are doing interviews by phone in the car.
Oh, I see.
So we have to have a driver. So that'd be like this guy, Steve Hughes, who's a tour manager. So he looks after us.
That's fantastic. And do they put you up at nice hotels?
No, they don't put us up. We have to find our own hotel. So what we do is we go to little B&Bs. We like quirky little breakfast places, bed and breakfast places. We try and avoid the big hotels. So overall, it was quite successful. We had a couple of bad ones. But we stayed in a great place in Harrogate.
Not Harrogate, York,
mm-hmm. called the Ascot. And a really nice place in King's Lynn, which I can't remember the name of. But generally speaking, they're much more quirky and it's a bit more interesting.
Yeah, I agree. It's always nice to have something that's a little bit different.
Yes, it is. Yes.
I'm sure you're asked this a lot, but can I ask you a little bit about the origins of the band name?
Yes, I can tell you that. Yeah, that's easy enough. That's from a song called Right Said Fred by Bernard Cribbins.
I know the one. And so the guys in that song, they have a lot of trouble and everything goes hilariously wrong.
Yes. Yes.
Now, does that reflect the way you work together in any way?
No, I suppose all bands have a degree of chaos and trial and error. So I suppose in that way there's a resemblance, but not really. No, my name's Christopher. I've been called Fred since I was about 5 or 6. And a friend of ours heard Right Said Fred on the radio, and then she suggested it as a good name for the band.
I see. I wondered whether your name came from the same source, but it's one following on from
then. Yes, it was just coincidence, yeah.
Yeah. So, your music is often upbeat, it's tongue-in-cheek and it's cheeky, it's easy to dance to and it's very positive in feel. Does that reflect how you are in life? Do you have a darker side? No.
Yes, both of us actually, we're both a bit grumpy.
Yeah.
We both are quite thoughtful in terms of, I don't mean thoughtful as in kind, although I hope we're that too, but... Well, I think we overthink things, and we're a little bit, you know, like how comics are. So a lot of comics are a bit dour outside their stage act.
Mm-hmm. Tears of a clown.
Yes, a little. We aren't. I think we write because we both had problems with depression. I think we write the sort of music we write to cheer ourselves up, take our minds off things.
That's good. And what sort of things do you get serious about? What sort of things aren't subject for comedy or for tongue in cheek songs?
Politics gets us down, the endless corruption and sort of abuse of public funds, and just the general injustice of things, really. How the poor get poorer, rich get richer, all that stuff drives us a little bit insane. And the music industry drives us insane, just the duplicitous nature of it.
Yes, I can imagine. It's changed a lot in character, hasn't it? The exploitation of artists and audience is a real problem.
It is, yeah, and it's populated by some of the most unpleasant people I think I've ever met in my life. So
that's hard when it's your line of work, but it gives a lot of pleasure as well.
Yes, it does. We're very fortunate.
And you've clearly got a highly developed social conscience, and you've been visible in LGBT rights campaigns. You've done a lot of work for charity.
Yes.
See recently you've donated the marketing budget of your single Sweet Treats to Crisis, the homeless charity.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we reduced our video budget by $2,500 and sent it to Crisis.
That's fantastic. Do you think that artists have a responsibility to use their influence for good in society?
Yes, I think, my view is I always shudder when I see artists getting close to politicians. Not getting close to politics, I think that's fine, but aligning themselves with politicians or political parties, I think is a dangerous move. And generally, I think the old adage of lie down with dog, get up with fleas applies. I think artists should try and... it's a difficult thing, but just personally, we feel better trying to, be a bit more altruistic if we can. And we can't always do that, but when we can, we try. So we do the Marsden March every year for the Royal Marsden Hospital, which we're doing on the 19th of March this year.
Yeah.
And we sort of have pay monthly amounts to the various charities and try to raise awareness when and where we can.
I see.
What other artists do is their business. I think it'd be nice if they were more active. I think there's a selfishness and a preoccupation with self in the music industry, which I do think's regrettable.
Yes, I can see that.
Yes. That's my view.
Yeah. Okay, a different sort of serious now. Cornbury Festival, where you're going to be playing in July. This is the last ever Cornbury Festival, which is taking place from the 7th to the 9th of July, just near Oxford. And this is where our listeners can see you performing next, if they're lucky enough to get hold of tickets. Are you, in general, festival fans yourselves?
Occasionally, yes. Not so much now. We went to a lot of gigs. Went to Freebies at Hyde Park, and went to Reading, and a lot of other different shows. So we played a lot in Europe, so I don't go so much. It feels a bit like a busman's holiday, but I think they are fantastic. If the weather's with you and the lineup is good, and the catering and toilets aren't too bad, then it can be fantastic.
And what do you enjoy doing at a festival? Are you the type to race around seeing everything, or do you like to chill out a bit and watch the world go by?
Yes, probably chill out a bit, wander around. I quite like all the subsidiary stuff that happens at festivals, whether it's a fun fair or all the traders, all that sort of stuff. I think that's and then obviously some bands. I saw Neil Young at Reading, saw Don McLean at a Freebie in Hyde Park. Mm. So sometimes it can be great, yeah.
Yeah, and would you think more camping or glamping?
Glamping. I'm not a camper. I have to go to a local hospital, a local hotel. Yeah, maybe a hospital.
Yes. One or the other.
Yes, I'm not a camping fan at all.
Creature comforts then, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And festival audiences, I suppose, can be quite mixed. There'll presumably be some proper fans who've come to see you, who followed your career, who know your work.
Yes.
But there'll also be a bunch of people who fondly remember a few big hits and not much else.
Exactly.
How do you find a balance? What's your stance on playing old songs or new? How do you give the people what they want when they're a bit drunk?
We always play the old songs.
Yeah.
And we tend to, it's a bit tribal tested, but we tend to do old new, we yo-yo between the two, so it's a trade-off. And some of the old bigger songs we extend. 9 to 6 is about 6.5 minutes now. Don't Talk Just Kiss goes up to about 5 minutes. So it depends on the song we're doing. My mate saying Stand Up is longer, but also we have some songs that, even if you haven't heard them before, work very well at festivals and live environment. We have a song called Melanie. It's not a very well-known song, but it's quite hypnotic, and it always goes down well.
I see. Yes.
So we're not adverse, we always play old songs. I think I personally think the onus is on the artist to play its biggest hits. I have no time or tolerance for artists saying, "Oh, I don't do that anymore." I think that's really ignorant.
It's a commendable attitude. I think it can be disappointing for people, can't it? Well, it's good for them to hear the new staff, it's important for them to be introduced to that. Yeah, but yes,
it is. But I think they're more receptive if you also play the old stuff. I think mashing them together gives the new stuff a better shot. And I went to see Van Morrison, and he didn't play Brown Eyed Girl. Oh. He didn't play Moondance. And I just thought, what are you playing at, mate? He barely talked to the audience. And I'm a big Van Morrison fan. He's a wonderful writer. But it was a miserable gig.
Yes, I can imagine. That's a shame.
Mm. Yeah, it is a shame. Yeah.
Some of your songs have also become established as sports anthems, haven't they? So Stand Up for the Champions has been used quite a lot for obvious reasons. And You're My Mate, was it adopted by the South African rugby team?
Yes, You're My Mate was used by South African rugby team. I think also, bizarrely, Borussia Dortmund had it for a while. Then they moved over to Stand Up for the Champions. And Stand Up has done really well. It's been used at World Cups, and it was Saracens used it all the time. Borussia Dortmund, Bayern Munich, and at the Super Bowl it was used. Yeah.
And are you sports fans yourselves?
Not really. I like watching rugby sometimes. I used to watch a lot of football. I was a bit of a football fan, but the amount of money that's in the game and the way it's now, it's turned into a bit bread and circuses. My heart sinks when you see all these people going to a match or all wearing the merchandise they've been ripped off for, you know, paying £40, £50 for a shirt that costs £2 to make in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. And if you look at old football matches, if you go back into the 60s and even before, that wasn't the case. Merchandise was not so prevalent. People would just turn up in there. They'd have scarves maybe and stuff, but they wouldn't have the whole kit. And I think the squeezing of people's pockets through their love of sport is pretty exploitative, really.
Yes, I suppose it's not unrelated to the complaints you were making earlier about the music industry. It's
Yes, I mean, with the music industry, I have very little tolerance because I used to work in a record shop.
Yeah.
And I was amazed how the same record will get repackaged time and time again and still sold for top retail value. And at retail price. And I think music industry is partly to blame for the mess it now finds itself in. It's been abusive. It hasn't valued its fans, and record companies have continually ripped off artists. So I think it's kind of where we are is sort of where we deserve to be, in my opinion.
Do you think there's a way out?
Yes, there is. Yeah, I think artists should get on and do what they want to do. I think if artists were just true to themselves, get up, play, enjoy themselves, remember why they were always in bands, and not be quite so desperate to be famous or to be signed to a record label, I think that would be a good place to start. That would be I think there's lots of great artists out there. I just think we focus on quite a narrow part of the music industry. And there's loads of good bands who actually are just getting on doing their own thing. But I think anyone who's making a living out of music is incredibly fortunate.
Yes.
So we make a living and we are very, very lucky. And I think it's always good just to pinch yourself and remember why you started and not get trapped into all that, into the race and into the game of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's impossible, of course, to ask you to name a best moment in such an eventful career, but could you perhaps mention a highlight? Is there a moment that stands out or something you're particularly proud of?
Yes. Yeah, there's a few, actually. I mean, one that always stands out is when we were in America. We first went to America. We were in Miami, and we had a couple of days off, so we rented a cabriolet, a Thunderbird cabriolet, and we were driving, Richard and I were driving down into Miami, I think we were in Coconut Grove, I think. And we put on the radio, and we were just channel surfing, and we actually caught the right at the end of the countdown, the American top 100 or top 30, whatever they were doing, and we caught the final song, and it said this week's America's number one this week is Right Said Fred, and that was a special moment because we knew we were number one, but we'd only just arrived in America, so we hadn't done any TV shows, we hadn't felt that success, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
So that was pretty amazing. And also just little things like some memorable things with fans. There was a young kid who was terminally ill, and we went. His wish before he passed was for us to go and play for him. And things like that are pretty special, really. and yes. Very privileged to be part of that. So loads of little things. We've been very lucky.
Yes, that's amazing.
It is, yeah.
Now, so what comes next for Right Said Fred? Your new album exactly has just been released, yes. Isn't it? What's the next stage?
Next stage is for us to go out and play some festivals this year and to rock the house and have some fun.
Fantastic.
So we've got a brand new band that we're very excited about. We've got Darren Mooney from Primal Scream is on drums. We've got Gordon Davis, who's a bass player. He's played with Jimmy Page and Gorillaz and Robbie Williams. And we've got a really good guitar player, Ben Martinez, who played with JCJ. We've got a couple of girls in the band as well. We've got a girl sax player and a girl keyboard player. And so I think the band's going to be kick-ass. I think we're going to surprise people.
So that's really the next job at hand.
Yeah, the next job at hand is to go on the road, do Cornbury, we're doing Best of All, Bear in the Woods in Ireland, and a whole bunch of others, some stuff in Europe. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think the band's going to sound fantastic, so I'm quite very excited. And I get to get a brand new pedal board for my guitar effects. So that's a bit of a geeky moment.
Oh yes, that sounds good.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So finally, I've got one more question for you.
Okay.
As the curse goes, we live in interesting times.
Yes.
There's a lot of joy in your music, and you famously said the one and only reason is fun, fun, fun. In a world of political turmoil and fragile global stability, what life advice can you offer our listeners to help them tread a happy path in the future?
I think probably to surround yourself with loved ones and not to seek approval from those people you don't care about or don't care about you. That would be just to stick to your guns, surround yourself by positive, happy people, if that's possible. And certainly with politics, do not get sucked into the game of it, because my view is what I think. I think they're all heads of the same snake, if you like. Yeah, it's the Hydra politics. Doesn't matter who you choose, Trump, Blair, Cameron, May. I think they're all part of the same rather despicable machine.
So just keep
your own counsel and enjoy as much as you can. Enjoy life as much as you can, I think.
That's sound advice. Wonderful. Thank you ever so much for speaking to me. It's been a pleasure.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for meeting. Thank you.